Live as God has called you. Isn't that something? What does that mean? Live as God has called you. If you would, stand for reading of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17 through 24. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. This is the word of God. Please be seated. Now, as you know, my first statement will be, the theme of 1 Corinthians is, what's wrong with the church? Oh, isn't that nice? Everyone knows. And you know that we have been in chapter 110 through 421. Carnal divisiveness was rampant. Hopefully you'll never forget that. Chapters 5 and 6, moral issues were ignored. And chapter 7, we're dealing with marriage difficulties were unresolved. Last week, we talked about divorce. We talked about keeping your marriage vows. And please, remember, there are three reasons for a Christian to be separated from their spouse, to be divorced from their spouse. Number one was marital infidelity, sexual immorality, which covers a potpourri. Any sexual act that is outside the covenant of marriage is prohibited by God. That covers everything, including the root word is porneia. Pornography would be in that list of things. So there's a great list. We don't have to go through them. But within the marriage bounds, that is where the sexual relationship is to take place. Number two, desertion of the unbelieving spouse. Desertion of the unbelieving spouse. And number three is death. Till death do us part. Now, we all said that, didn't we? Till death do us part. And it isn't, it's the death of the marriage. Believe me, have you ever heard that one? The marriage is dead. Well, who says so? You say so? No, it's God who says so. And you want to be dead, then be dead. But it is not because the marriage is dead and you said it's dead. So, I ask you a question here. Is divorce a problem in the church today? Yes. Oh, yes, you bet it is. And why is it a problem? Well, I'll tell you why it's a problem. And hopefully you can figure this out in your own mind why it's a problem. The church has been impacted by the world. And folks within the church are acting just like people in the world. It should not be. We have been called out of the world. You've been called out of the kingdom of what? The kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. They are diametrically opposed, okay? They are not the same kingdoms. They don't blend together. They don't overlap. They are separate. And so you are to be different because you are in the kingdom of light. Now, one of these things is you hear the world's philosophy. This is as crept into the church. If you're not happy, change your situation. If you're not hilariously happy with your mate, change your situation. And I'll tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Let's explore this for just a second. The problem is when you say that I am not happy, I want to change my situation, who's the focus on? I am the focus. And believe me, when I am the focus, I have learned when I am the focus that things are going to happen bad to me. Okay? I don't know if you've learned that yet, but you will if you haven't. You get a chance. Hopefully you will have learned that one. The focus is I, my happiness, my will, my way. The world views life through the happiness lens. If you're not happy in your work, change it. You're not happy with your spouse, change it. You're not happy with your car, change it. You're not happy with your house, change it. You're not happy, change, because you're not happy, because you're the focus. You're the God of everything. Everything is focused upon you. And that is not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches that Jesus is the focus. He is the subject. He is the center, and it's His will, His way, not my way. Okay? That's all kind of like Christianity 101. We've got that down, that part down. The important thing here is that those who are born again of the Spirit have forfeited their rights and their will. Did you know that? When you were born again into the family of God, you forfeited your rights and your will, and now it's His will and His way in your life, not your will and your way. How do I know that? Well, I've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Colossians 1:13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's number one, change of kingdoms. Number two, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Okay, that's the difference. I've sacrificed my rights and my will and my way. Now, a question for you. Has God promised you happiness? Has God promised you hilarious happiness as the world views it on this side? And the answer is no. What has He promised you on this side? Let's look at what the world definition of happiness is. In the dictionary, happy is characterized by luck, good fortune, prosperous, having or demonstrating pleasure or satisfaction. That is the world's definition of happiness. Now, I want you to know, when you look up happy in the Greek, you'll see most of the time in your list in the Strong's, you will see makarios, blessed, fully satisfied. Let me give you the Zadiati's definition of this. He says this, in the biblical sense, a blessed person, a happy person, from a biblical view, okay, is one whom God makes fully satisfied, not because of favorable circumstances. Not because of favorable circumstances. Doesn't matter about your circumstances. Get that, okay? We have that down? Not favorable circumstances, but because He indwells the believer through Christ. Makarios is the one who is in the world, yet independent of the world. His satisfaction comes from God and not from favorable circumstances. A big difference between the world's definition of happy and God's definition of happy. Makarios, happiness. The world views happiness as circumstance dependent, and the Scripture views it as satisfaction in God, no matter where He's placed me. And we're going to see more on this in just a little bit. But what has God promised you? He hasn't promised you happiness, but a word that's very close to that. He's promised you what? Joy. Yeah, joy. He's promised you joy. Joy is C-H-A-R-A, Kara. See, gladness of heart is what it means. Gladness of heart in spite of circumstances. In spite of the crud that's coming into your life. And we've just talked about divorce. And in spite of relational issues. In spite of illness. In spite of work issues. In spite of all the things that come into our lives every day. God has said we can have joy. Do you believe that? Do you actually believe that? Let me show you. It's conditional. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may, that's a conditional word, isn't it? May remain in you and that your joy may be full. It must be appropriated by the believer. Okay? You have to appropriate the joy. You have to not let the circumstances tear you down and destroy your life. That's the important thing to remember here. It is gladness of heart, not based on circumstances. You know what? No one can steal your joy. You believe that? You can choose, no matter what the situation is, to live above the mess. Now, are we just ignoring that this is a cesspool of mess that we live in? No, we were real with God. This hurts, Lord. I'm struggling through this, Lord. I need your help, Lord. He gives us tools and He gives us ways of dealing with this. In your life, He's promised you joy, but also He's promised you something else. He's promised you His peace. Now, when we're talking about relational situations that can go awry, life situations that can go awry, we can still have joy and we can have peace. John 16:33 says this, These things I have spoken to you, that in me, in the Lord Jesus, you may, conditional, have peace. In the world, and he says this, you will have tribulation. You know what that tribulation means? You are going to have this. You want to claim a promise of Scripture? That's one you can claim, okay? Tribulation is the word T-H-I-L-P-S-I-S. And it means this, grievous affliction or distress, to break or to crush. You're going to have this in the world. Pressure on the spirit. Pressure on the spirit. You're living in this world. You know that's what's going to happen to you at some point on your travels. And as you grow older, you know this is true. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, Jesus is the overcomer. And because he has overcome, he's given you the ability to overcome. It wasn't hilariously happy for Jesus to be in Gethsemane, was it? He's not going, it's just great and wonderful here. No, he pled with God to take this cup from him. But he said, not my will, but thy will be done. But there had to be some sort, and he got ministered to by angels. He had peace when he was going forward. That same peace is available to us in the tumult of life that we're going through. It is available. It's conditional that you may have it, but you must appropriate it. Now listen to this. When dealing with difficult life issues, marriage vows, divorce, interpersonal struggles, disease, death, work, separation, finances. You can just keep listing them, can't you? Okay, they can just keep going. Jesus promised us joy in the midst of the storm and his peace which passes all understanding. Now, how do I actually live this out in my life? He's just coming out talking about divorce, keeping your marriage vows, those tensions that we have in relationships. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Very famous one. Most Christians know about this, but most Christians don't appropriate this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And notice what the Apostle Paul says. In everything, be really anxious. Does he say that? No, he doesn't say that. He says to us, be anxious for nothing. You know what that word anxious means when you look it up in the Zadiates text? It means distracted or preoccupied. Distracted or preoccupied. Do you ever have something that you just were churning over and over and over inside of yourself? He says, don't do that. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You take your stress, your strain to the only one that can handle it. Okay? And that is the Lord Jesus. And then he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, the inside of you, and your minds. Where's the ruminating taking place? It's in your mind. You're thinking about it over and over and over. And God says, no. You can have peace in this. Don't focus on that thing. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You don't have to ruminate on it. You don't have to be preoccupied with it. And I'm telling you, this works. This was a life-saving scripture for me at a time in my life when I was filled up to here with vergen, worry about what was going to happen to a loved one. And a lady gave me counsel and she said, Rick, read this, and if you have to bury that person, bury them once. Not every night, every day, 25 times a day, thinking about, oh, what's going to happen, okay? You do it one time. And when I read this, guess what happened to me? I actually was able to put it off. I appropriated it. How did I do it? Watch this. Verse 8. How do I do these things? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, lovely, whatever is good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What does that mean? I am not preoccupied with the thing that is causing me the worry and the distress. Do you hear that? It's a lifeline for us. It is a lifeline for us. And finally, the things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these you actually do. It doesn't do any good to just hear it. It doesn't do any good to just hear it and not apply it. We're not just hearers of the word, but what? Doers of the word. And then the promise is here. You've got your information. You've prayed to God. Your focus is right. You're taking captive every thought. You're true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Think about such things. And then this is guaranteed to you. This will happen to you. And the God of peace, and the God of peace, the shalom of God, God will be with you. In your struggle, in your pain, in your issue, the God of peace will be with you. Now, turbulent waters are to be expected in life, okay? This week, live as God has called you. And it can be turbulent. Your life will include affliction, crushing, the pressures of the Spirit, but we're going to see how we are to live in the situation in which you were called. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to study your word. And Lord, we know that your word is truth. Help us to place this word inside of us that we may be different because we have come in contact with you, the living God, and the truth of your word. Open our spiritual eyes, Lord, our hearts to be open to you, soft, pliable, ready to learn. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 17 begins with this principle. Where you are is where God needs you. Where you are is where God needs you. Watch this. But as God has distributed to each one, he's distributed something to each one of us. As the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain or appoint. Ordain just means appoint. Okay, that's all that word means. In all the churches. Where you are is where God needs you. Distributed in the NIV means assigned. You have been assigned. You have been placed. You have been put into a place of influence. You are kingdoms of light. You are a kingdom of light in the kingdom of darkness, okay? And no matter where you are, we are to influence those we come in contact with for the kingdom of God. Not the self-kingdom, but God's kingdom. Now listen to this. No matter where you are, and that doesn't matter if you're a mom at home or in the business world, if you're a dad in the factory, if you're in a husband and wife situation that's difficult, if you're in school or college and you feel like you're the only one that is trying to be a Christian in that group, and I'll tell you, I bet you there's lots of kids that feel that way. If you're a corporate boss, no matter where you are, if you're a president, whatever your daily grind is, walk, live, and represent Jesus every place your feet touch. You've been called out of the world. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I belong to him. He directs where I go. He influences my life, not the world influencing me. I influence the world with the way God wants me to live in this world. Okay? Is that clear? Not the world influencing me to the point that now I'm caving, now I'm becoming more and more like the world. No! We've been called what? Out of the world to be different people. To be different people. So, listen to how this plays out. If you would, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, you probably have underlined and starred this because this is one of my favorite verses, but you get to hear it again. Now, we're talking about your calling. Your calling. Wherever God has called you, wherever... Live as God has called you. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. This is who we are. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? It's a representative in a foreign land. Are you in a foreign land? Yes, you are. You are in the kingdom of darkness, a foreign land. You are an ambassador of light in this kingdom of darkness. Very important to remember. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, we appeal to you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled, to be brought back into right relationship with the living God. We as ambassadors, that is our message to the world. Be brought back into right relationship with the living God. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, we are ambassadors. Our calling is to be a representative of the Master, wherever we are, wherever he's placed us. That concept is down. Now, our focus as ambassadors starts in chapter 6, verse 1. Read with me, if you will. We then, as workers together with him. Now, what does that sound like? Is God doing it all by himself? No, it's a partnership. He could do anything he wants, but he uses humans in this process. We are part of the salvation message-spreading process. He has done that. That's the way he chose to do it. We then, as workers with him, also plead with you. It's the same word that we saw in 5:20 where it said, implore you, with you, not to receive the grace of God in vain, the favor, the acceptance of God in vain. That in vain is the word K-E-N-O-S or K-E-N-O-N. It means empty, hollow, without results, useless. Don't reject this word. Don't make it be something in vain. That's what we're telling the people. We're bringing this message to the people. And then we share with them, in an acceptable time I have heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. You know what that tells me? There's a day that God opens the spiritual eyes, ears, mind of a human that they can receive this message. There's an acceptable day, an acceptable time. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Whenever this conversation comes up between you and somebody else, you're hoping that you really want the Spirit leading it. You just don't go barging into someone's living room and say, you need Jesus. Okay, that isn't the way you do it. As the Spirit leads, as he opens the doors, we share the gospel. That is their time. It is Spirit-led. Okay? Now, so our calling is to be ambassadors. Our focus is the gospel. The challenges that we face in doing this will be difficult. Pick it up in chapter 6, verse 4. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God. Now, what is a minister? Let's just clarify this. A servant. A servant. You don't see bumper stickers or license plates that have servant on it. You see ministers, okay? But there's a certain accolade to that. No, all you are, you're a servant. And guess what? Everyone in this room that has been born again of the Spirit is a what? A minister, a servant of the Lord Jesus, okay? So you can get that license plate. Minister, put it right. We have hundreds and thousands of ministers just running all over the place. As ministers of God, in much patience, in other words, hang in, don't quit, in tribulation, this is what's going to happen. It's not always going to be cheery. In needs, in distress, in stripes, imprisonments, tumults, in labor, sleeplessness, fasting, there's going to be issues that come up that are going to be obstacles to your ministering. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't cower back. Okay? The reason that you can go forward is because who is in you? Who is resident within you? The Holy Spirit is what does Donald Barnhouse say? He's what? He's the rod of iron up your spine that's going to allow you to stand. It's not going to be you standing. It's the Spirit of God holding you up, allowing you to move forward. Okay? So you're going to have obstacles, challenges, difficulties. Once a person has received the divine call, now hear these words, the divine call. The word call
is the Greek word kaleo, K-A-L-E-O, okay? That is what the word is. It means to invite to participate in the blessings of redemption. God has a call to all humanity to participate in the blessings of redemption, okay? Now, the called ones are those who receive the divine call. Yet all who receive him, remember John 1:12? To those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become what? Children of God. Children of God. You must receive it. We don't believe in universalism and that Jesus' atonement saved everybody no matter what they do with him. We don't believe that. We believe that he took all the sins of the world upon himself. We believe in the such substitutionary atonement, but it must be received. You must believe that Jesus is your sin bearer, your substitution. So, hopefully I've clarified that. No matter where you are, you're a king, you're a priest, you've been called out, you're an ambassador, you're representing the Lord Jesus, we're to be different than the world. Different than the world. Now, there's a caution here. There's a huge responsibility. And the reason that it's a huge responsibility, you've been born again into the family of God. And usually this isn't done in isolation. Someone will get baptized as a public witness. You are telling people in your family that you're saved. You are telling people in your workplace, hopefully, that you've been born again of the Spirit. You might not say it that way, but Jesus came into me, okay? However you're going to tell it in the vernacular, they're going to understand it. So now you have them, the microscope is on, buddy, and they're watching every action you take. Your kids are watching your actions. Your unsaved mate is watching your actions. Your co-workers are watching your actions. Your friends who think you went right off the deep end, fell off the world, and got involved in a cult are watching your actions. Okay? Everybody is watching you. And the biggest thing that they're looking for in Christians, when Christians say one thing and do another, what do they call them? A hypocrite. You hypocrite. And I feel like saying, yes, I am. When you look in the mirror, you are seeing somebody that sometimes wears a mask. But I don't want to be a mask wearer. I want to be genuine before the Lord Jesus. Genuine before people. Genuine. A hypocrite. That's the world's favorite label that they place on Christians. You do not want, you know what I call a hypocrite? A conditional Christian. When you're with Christians, oh, praise you, Jesus. You use a lot of God talk and Jesus speak. I love you, Lord. When you're coming back, Lord. Oh, and all those things, okay? And then when you get with your world friends, there's no Lord. You know what you've done with Lord? You've taken Jesus out of the center, and where have you placed him? We've placed him on the shelf so that now I can forget about Jesus and I can engage in whatever I want to engage in. And then once I get done engaging in the things of the world and I start to feel the conviction of the Spirit, then I take Jesus back and put him into the center. And over and over and over we can do this. The tragedy with that is that the people in the world who you've witnessed to are now seeing you act like them. That is the tragedy. And to my chagrin, I have many times fit into that category. Many times. If you're going to pronounce that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus and you're going to be public with your faith, please live it out. Please live it out. Do not be someone who says one thing in one venue, another thing in another venue, and it degrades the name of the Lord Jesus. Believe me, and if you've been in Christianity any time, it probably has happened to most of you. Because it certainly has happened to me. That's what I can say. So, do not be a conditional Christian. Verse 18 and 19 back in our text. Was anyone called while circumcised or as a Jew? Did Jesus call you out of the world as a Jew? Okay. Let him not become uncircumcised or like a Gentile. Okay. Hear this out. Was anyone called while uncircumcised as a Gentile? Let him not be circumcised, not let him not become like a Jew. God has called people out from each people group into his family to be a single entity within his family. Okay? I don't have to be like a Jew. Now, what happens much in Christianity today is that many Gentiles are trying to take on more and more Jewish attributes. And you see a lot of Gentile bodies going to worshiping a Saturday Sabbath, keeping the feast days in more of a legal manner instead of a learning manner, because the feast days all point to Jesus Messiah. And I asked David Hocking about this a few years ago when he was in Kalamazoo. And he said one of the worst things is when a Gentile is a Jew wannabe. And he's a Jew. He said God has called us to be a single entity in his church. Okay? So that's just a little anecdotal note here. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. So wherever you're called, whenever you're called, whatever state you're in, be who you are. That's the important thing. That's what he's saying here. You don't have to be somebody else. You don't have to be somebody else. You are unique. You are a treasure in God's eyes. You are precious in God's sight. You have been spiritually gifted by God to fit into his body. Do you know that each one of you in here has a spiritual gift uniquely given to you by God at the time of your salvation to be used within the body of Messiah to elevate the body, to make the body stronger? You're all fitting in. Learn what your spiritual gift is. We're going to get into more of that as we go on, particularly when we get into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Everyone has been gifted by God. You don't have to be someone else. You are very, very adequate being who you are. Chuck Swindoll puts it this way, and I've mentioned this before, so this will be a repeat for most of you. This is advice he gives to those who have been born again of the Spirit, saved people. First of all, know who you are. Know who you are. You're unique. You're one of a kind. God made you as you are. You are precious in his sight as you are. You don't have to be somebody else. Now, all my life, I wanted to be somebody else. I wanted to be Mickey Mantle in baseball season. Okay? I wanted to be Barry Sanders in football season. I wanted to be Gordie Howe in hockey season. I wanted to be somebody else. I wanted to be a little taller than I am. I wanted to be able to run a little faster than I can. I always wanted something else. You know, God made me the way he made me. And he made me special for his use and his value. And you too. You don't have to be somebody else. Know who you are. Accept who you are. And again, you don't have to be like somebody else. God is making you like his son. He's conforming you into the likeness of Jesus. That is the precious thing. And then finally, be who you are. Don't be a mask wearer. Don't be a pretender in this thing. Not a phony. Show the world the real you. And I think as Christians, when we show the world the real us, you know, we don't have to be all, I'm a Christian. I can't do anything. Life is such a struggle that I can't do it. No. Laugh more. Enjoy life more. Relish the journey. We're only going through. I like that, Lee. I'm very, very positive. I like that. Relish the journey. And we are Christ followers, and we can be full of life. And that's how we want to demonstrate to the world, that this is a joy-filled, peace-filled life. And it doesn't happen by just, okay, I'm going to be really joyful today. Ha, ha, ha. Okay? They're going to see through the phony baloney. It's got to come from the Spirit working in you. Okay? And finally, in 19b, it says this. Keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Obeying God's commands are what matters. No matter where God has placed you, where he's called you, or what your calling is, obey his command, his word, and it protects you from the following. When you are obedient to the word of God, it'll protect you from many things, but these three things came to mind for me for this. Number one, thinking more highly of myself than I ought. What is one of the biggest problems that humans have? Pride. Pride.
Thinking more highly than you ought. Or thinking more lowly than you ought. You know, oh, I'm no good. I'll never make it. Uh-uh. No thinking. You are the son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are kings and priests. Own it. Own it. Don't think more lowly than you ought. And then number three, it'll protect you from getting off track, buying into the world's lies. And I'm telling you, we're inundated every day by media, by the television, by the newspapers, by the magazines, by the friends that we are in contact with the world's ways, the flesh ways, the Satan's ways. Okay? Don't go down that road. Remember, he has many schemes. Methodia was the Greek, remember? Many ways that he deals with humans that are time-tested. He knows the bait to drop just for you. He's known you since you were a little kid. He knows the proclivities that you have, the things that entice you, and he drops them right in your way. And what does he want you to do, like a little fish? Grab right onto it, and I'll tell you, you're hooked. And that's what you don't want to be, because you have fallen for his methodologies, his bait. So, does what I say just mean living your calling? Does it mean that I'm stuck in this situation forever? Verse 20. That'll ask the question. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. And I want to suggest to you something that I think is really true. Christianity is dynamic, not static. Dynamic. You look at your life, constantly moving, constantly getting you in contact with other people. God is working in your life. It is not static. It's dynamic. Okay? If you're a Christian, get ready for the journey of your life. The most joy-filled place you can be is in the center of where God wants you to be. And it is not boring. Does this mean that you're stuck in it? No. Christianity is dynamic, not static. Things will and do change. But I want you to remember something. If you're called when you're married, and you're married to an unbeliever, that's not a reason to bolt. We've already been through that. If you're called while a Jew, don't try to become a non-Jew. If a Gentile, don't try to become a Jew. If you're called as a slave, it doesn't give you license to run away from your master. Okay? We're going to get into more of that in just a second. The principle is, allow God to change your circumstances, not you forcing the issue or you running ahead of God. Anybody here ever run ahead of God? Well, let me just say this. Is anybody here not run ahead of God? Because I want to meet you. I want to shake your hand and know the first person in my life that has not tried to run ahead of God and correct everything themselves. Running ahead of God. And by the way, no lagging behind. What does the scripture say? We are to keep in step with the Spirit. He moves, I move. He moves, I move. He goes this way, I go this way. Okay? I keep in step with the Spirit. That helps me to know where I go to college, where I work, the friends that I deal with, the people that I get involved with, how I run my life. I keep in step with the Spirit. Things start to get bad, like with Abraham. Remember Abraham, there was a famine in the land. And the famine in the land, without any prayer, Abraham looked at the famine, looked at other places, and you know where he went? He went down to Egypt. And you know what happened to him when he ran ahead? Mess. Whenever you run ahead, just remember this word, mess. And you know what? People have to clean up messes. And end up trying to clean up your mess if they're involved in your life. And you try to clean up your mess. When you run ahead of God, it's a mess. What happened when Abraham was told that he was going to have a son? And he was really old, and he wasn't going to have the son. And then Sarah says, why don't you just have Hagar? And Abraham says, oh, good idea. Let's run ahead of God. You know what happened then? Mess. Mess. And we're living in that mess today, are we not? The Jew-Arab conflict goes back to Hagar and that decision to, let's run ahead. Believe me. When sin comes, this is the effect of sin. It is never, ever isolated.
Never, ever something. It only affects me. Never, ever does it only affect you. The ripple effect is unbelievable. And that's what happened to them. He ran ahead, no lagging behind. He lagged behind when he got a call out of Ur of the Chaldeans. And he delayed 5 years in Haran until God finally killed Terah, his father. And then he heard God again and says, get out of the land, get moving, this is where I told you to go. And then he went. We're getting into more of that in our Genesis study on Tuesday night. By the way, we are in Genesis chapter 2 for all of you that would like to come on Tuesday night. We'll revisit that. So, the important thing is freelancers, those who think that they can just run ahead of God, do things at their own pace with God, okay, end up in mess land, doing it your way. That's what ends up being mess. In your walk, keep in step with the Spirit. No running ahead, no lagging behind. Okay? Verse 21, rely on God. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. Now you have a whole world looking at that verse going, Christianity doesn't want you to be a slave. It wants you to stay a slave forever. See, Christianity is a slave making, you know. Read on. You were called, do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. Now hear this. The word slave is doulos. We've heard that word before. Paul was a doulos, a bondservant of the Lord Jesus. Peter was a doulos. Hopefully you are a doulos, okay? A servant of the master. Simply means one in permanent relationship or servitude to another, his will consumed with the will of his master. Now there is forced slavery, and that is what we see in the world. And then there is voluntary slavery, voluntary servants, douloses, that serve the master. Okay? Hear this. Whether you're a plantation slave from Africa, whether you are a Roman slave like Paul and innumerable Christians, remember Rome was full of slaves. Whether you are a Siberian slave, a Russian in the Siberian camps, whether you are a Jew enslaved by Pharaoh or Hitler, okay, whether you as an individual were enslaved to Satan, the world's ways, the flesh, your habit, I'm telling you, John 8:36 is real for you. Real for each one of us. If the Son makes you free, you know this, you will be free indeed. That is the truth. That is the truth. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. All men can be free men if in Christ, regardless of their circumstances and where they are. Okay? You might be able to enslave my body, but you cannot enslave my mind and my heart and my spirit. They belong to God. They don't belong to you. So if you're in a Chinese prison camp where many Christians have been enslaved, they are freed men in the Lord Jesus. And they have wonderful testimonies of men that have lived free in captivity because they've been freed by the Lord Jesus. Verse 22, your real purpose. The real purpose is to be a slave of Christ. Watch this. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. Your real purpose is to be Christ's slave, his servant, his doulos. The difference here is you're a willing slave. Nobody drugged you into the family of God. You came in willingly. You know, that's what real love is. You know, God isn't forcing people to come into his family against their will. He draws them. He brings them into the family. That's what real love is. Real love has to involve choice. Has to involve choice. The difference is you are a willing doulos. You're not forced. His will is consuming your life. Verse 23. Why am I willing to be a slave of Jesus? You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Oh, how we do that. The opinions of men mean so much to us what they think about us. Do not become slaves of men. Do not become slaves of men. Why am I so willing to be a slave of Jesus? Ask yourself this. And I'll tell you, the world finds this peculiar also. Why am I willing to be a slave? They find it strange as can be. I'll tell you, you're a slave because Jesus didn't force you. You willingly came into this because of what he did. Listen to this. He died for me. He shed his blood for me. He redeemed me. He paid the price for me. And because he did that, I willingly serve him. Number one. Number two, he took my sin debt. And when he took my sin debt on the tree, you know what he freed me from? He freed me from the three P's: the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. And the presence of sin will be when I am glorified. The penalty of sin is when I was justified. The power of sin is what he's working out in your life now as he's freeing you, conforming you into the likeness of Jesus. That is what happened. This is past. Justification happened in the past when you were saved. Sanctification is a process that is going on now in your life, conforming into the likeness of Christ. But you're not going to make it. You're not going to be whole until you're glorified, until your graduation day, when one day he calls your name and says, it's time to go home. And then you're going to be in a state of perfection, no longer temptable. Isn't that going to be joyful? I mean, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face. Oh, what a day that will be, man. That is the day of days. That's your greatest day of your life. He took my sin debt. He died that I might live. That's the substitutionary atonement. And I'll tell you, when you realize, when you read in Scripture, when he cried out to Tetelestai, it is finished. The redemptive price was paid. I'm released from the slavery of Satan. I've been enslaved to Satan and his ways. He is an evil taskmaster. He demands your life in exchange for the little pleasure that he will give you. He is a person of death, and God is a person of life. What a difference. I have been freed, but it is conditional. Jesus took all the sins on the world upon himself. Every one of our sins, past, present, future, but it is conditional. I must receive the gift. I must receive the gift of eternal life. And finally, in verse 24, no matter what your lot in life is, be faithful to the Lord. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Wherever you're called, however you were called, remain faithful to our God. Allow him to change your life situation. Allow him to change it. No matter the state that we are in, I would encourage you to adopt this philosophy. No moaning, no groaning, no poor me, no woe is me, none of that. We need his power. Whatever your situation, whatever your calling, live out Psalm 27:14. And I'll just read it to you. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. For all the type A's in the world, that's not easy. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. If you read just in Psalm 28:7, he says this. You realize this. When you wait on the Lord, you want this. 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. You don't see gloom and despair. You don't see that. You see people going to their death. You see Polycarp at age 86 tied to a fire pit and saying, I will not recant. I will not deny my Lord. 86 years I have served him. I will not recant. Do what you want with me, Mr. Caesar. I will not recant. You see the Christians lighted up on the way. I will not recant. He is my strength. He is my refuge. He will be the one that allows me to stand. That is the truth. God has placed you where you are, folks. And I wear this saying out for such a time as this, but it's true. You are in 2012 in a unique place at a unique time in history. Our world is changing at a rocket pace. Our country is changing. It is no longer the country that I grew up in, nor many of you. It is evolving right before our eyes. And God has placed you at a special time in history to influence the culture around you. Every place your feet touch, you are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus. There's not many of us, folks. And they will look at you as being peculiar and strange. It's okay. And by the way, if they're not looking at you that way, examine yourself. Examine yourself. You are an ambassador in a foreign land. And folks, this world is not your home. You're just passing through. You are sojourners. Live as you were called. May you live, walk on this side blessed. Makarios. Fully satisfied because you have been obedient to the Master. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, you are true in your word. You have given us the truth today. You've called us into this world, and whatever situation you've called us, Lord, help us to live out our faith for real. No chameleons, not hypocrites. Help us to express the joy of the Lord in our lives. May the peace of God that passes all understanding be on each one of us as we walk this sod and go through the struggles that each one of us will face before you call us home and we are finally in our perfect state. And Lord, I would ask you for myself that you would help me to be real in every situation that you put me in. Lord, may I not ever defame your name. I really ask you, Lord, for that. Help me to represent you with excellence as long as I have breath. I pray that for every man, woman, and child here today. You are worth everything. And may we give our everything to you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.